This program is conducted for the purpose of exploring God's Word and searching out the truths that are found therein. Outstanding among these truths are the following. There is but one God, who is the Father, and out of His own underived energy He created the heavens and the earth and all that is in them. Jesus Christ is the only begotten Son of God. He was born of the Virgin Mary by the power of God. Through His sinless life, His sacrificial death, and His glorious resurrection, mankind has a hope for salvation as they have faith and belief in Him. Man, the last creation of God, is a creature of the dust. As Genesis 2:7 states, the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Because man is mortal, at death he enters a state of unconsciousness until the second coming of Jesus Christ. The kingdom of God will be established upon this earth at Jesus' return, and at this time Jesus will sit upon the throne of his father David, as was promised in Luke chapter 1, verses 31 through 33. At this time as well, all the promises made to Abraham and to his seed will be completely fulfilled. We'd like to call your attention to a few verses found in Revelation, the 16th chapter. I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon, and out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. For they are the spirits of devils, working miracles, which go forth unto the kings of the earth and the whole world, to gather them to the battle of that great day of God Almighty. Behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked, and they see his shame. And he gathered them together into a place called in the Hebrew tongue Armageddon. Revelation 16, verses 13 through 16. Nearly every one of us has heard some preacher sometime speak of Armageddon. I know I've heard of the coming of Armageddon ever since I was a child, and nearly every one of us has some hazy idea of what Armageddon means, though it may not seem to concern us. To most of us, it means doomsday, or the final judgment of the world. It has been called the Battle of Armageddon, the Battle at Armageddon, and the Battle of God Almighty. According to these verses that we have just read from Revelation 16, there are three evil influences that will cause the kings of the earth and of the whole world to gather at Armageddon. Several questions come to mind. What are these evil spirits? Where do they come from? And what will they accomplish? In the first place, we notice that they are called unclean spirits and the spirits of devils. So we can conclude that they will be evil influences, that they will enter the hearts of the leaders of the world at the end time. These sinful and evil influences will come out of the mouth of the dragon, and out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. There are to be three separate and distinct evil influences working in the world at the end to gather the nations together at Armageddon. One will come from the beast, a second from the false prophet, and a third from the dragon or Satan. Since these influences come out of the mouth of these three, we understand that these three spirits or influences will be ideologies or systems. If the beast refers to communism, then communism will be one of the evil influences that will lead some of the world's peoples to Armageddon and the judgment of God. The false prophet, or as some people might call him, the Antichrist, the son of perdition, or any of the other names that refer to this person, the false prophet will spread another evil influence throughout the world when he proclaims himself to be the Almighty God and sets up his worldwide false religious system, according to 2 Thessalonians, the second chapter. Here are two of the evil influences that will lead this world to its judgment: false religion and perhaps communism. The third is mentioned as coming from the dragon himself. In other words, evil in general will come into the hearts and the actions of mankind. Covetousness and pride and all types of sin and wickedness, besides the two mentioned, will bring about the fall of this world as we know it. These three evil influences will gather the powers of earth together at Armageddon to the battle of that great day of God Almighty. But there is hope for the Christian, for Jesus said, "Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame." So the Christian who is teaching and watching his stand before God and keeping his life clean from evil will be blessed, and will escape the coming destruction. Jesus' coming means full salvation for the true child of God, but death and destruction for those that are anti-God. The writer of the book of Revelation mentioned prophetically that the kings of the earth will be gathered together into a place called in the Hebrew tongue Armageddon. Do you know where Armageddon is? The verse says it is a place. A little research will show us that Armageddon means the mountain of Megiddo. Now, Megiddo was a city in the valley near the mountain pass of Megiddo, north of Jerusalem. Megiddo was the scene of several ancient battles. Sisera was defeated at the waters of Megiddo. Turn to Judges, the 5th chapter and the 19th verse, and you read about this. And also, this was the time when Jael killed Sisera by driving a tent stake through his temple. Ahaziah, the king of Judah, died at Megiddo after being wounded in battle by King Jehu, 2 Kings, the 9th chapter, the 27th verse. King Josiah was killed there by Pharaoh Necho, according to 2 Kings 23:29. So we look at the scriptures and we find that Megiddo has long been known as a decisive battlefield. Remember, Megiddo is north of Jerusalem, at the mountain pass between the plains of Sharon and the plain of Esdraelon. Megiddo is a place of great strategic importance, since it controls this mountain pass. This, then, is where the armies of the earth will meet in the end for judgment. The prophet Joel proclaims the same prophetic scene that Revelation 16 does. It says in chapter 3, verse 2, and also verses 9 through 14, that I will also gather all nations, and will bring them down into the valley of Jehoshaphat, and will plead with them there for my people and my heritage Israel, whom they have scattered among the nations and parted my land. Proclaim ye this among the Gentiles. Prepare war, wake up the mighty men. Let all the men of war draw near. Let them come up. Beat your plowshares into swords and your pruning hooks into spears. Let the weak say, I am strong. Assemble yourselves and come, all ye heathen, and gather yourselves together round about. Thither cause thy mighty ones to come down, O Lord. Let the heathen be wakened, and come up to the valley of Jehoshaphat, for there will I sit to judge all the heathen round about. Put ye in the sickle, for the harvest is ripe. Come, get ye down, for the press is full. The fats overflow, for the wickedness is great. Multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision, for the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. Prepare war, God tells the nations at the end. Isn't that just what the nations are doing now? Isn't every nation, from the greatest to the smallest, preparing weapons and training men in the use of these weapons? They certainly are. Even in this time of when the nations are calling peace, still they are preparing for war. This is another sign to us that the end of time is near. Never before has the whole world been so involved in such war preparations as we see today. Jesus' coming is soon. The heathen, or those without God, are to assemble at the Valley of Jehoshaphat. The commentaries tell us that there is no such place as Jehoshaphat, that the word is symbolic of judgment or Valley of Judgment. Revelation mentioned in a certain place saying the heathen would be gathered together to the place called Armageddon. The heathen will be gathered together for judgment for their sins. Many, many people then will feel the heavy hand of the Lord's wrath. As Joel said, their wickedness is great. Jesus spoke about this same judgment of the world in the 21st chapter of Luke in verses 34 and 35, when he said, "Take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and the cares of this life, and so that day come upon you unawares. For as a snare shall it come up on all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth." Jesus was speaking about this same day of the Lord. He said we should examine ourselves, see our true standing with God, and let not intemperance or drunkenness or other sins of life come to us to be unprepared, so that that day come upon us unaware. The day of judgment will come upon the world as a snare. Jesus said that it will come, and so we look forward to this day. You're all probably acquainted with the business of trapping. The trapper buys traps, and then he takes them to the swamp or the woods or the creek where the animal is, and sets the trap in the animal's regular trail. And little does the animal know what is in store for him when he goes down this trail that is so familiar to him. He steps into the trap and is unexpectedly caught, and that is the end of him. And just so will the judgment day come upon this world. But Jesus said that it would not come on those who trust in God. He told us to take heed, to live right, to have faith in God, to watch and pray, so that we could escape this judgment and its effects. Joel said the same thing. He said, "It shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be delivered. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem shall be deliverance, as the Lord has said, and in the remnant whom the Lord shall call." So you see, there is still time for us to dedicate our lives to God and to His Son, Jesus Christ. The end of the world is coming, but we still have time to mourn for our sins and to yield ourselves more fully to God and to walk the straight and narrow path more perfectly than we have in the past. Remember, it's only those whose hearts are perfect with which God can be saved. We realize that one of the greatest ways and one of the greatest responsibilities that we have is that of knowing and understanding God's Word. And in addition to listening to this broadcast, we urge you to study God's Word on your own. To help you with this, we offer a 29-lesson home Bible study course that is free of charge to anyone who is interested. If you'd appreciate either the home Bible study course or the magazine, send us your name and address, and they will be sent to you free of charge.